You have your Bibles tonight, the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1 this evening. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll ask you to stand to your feet. We'll read the Word of God, verses 1 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, if correctly read. Verse number 3 is on my heart heavy this evening. We've begun a new series of messages entitled Because He Lives. And verse 3 again, in the middle of the verse, it says that he, by his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I want to preach on hope because he lives. Amen. We have hope because he lives. Father, would you help us tonight to empty us, God, cleanse us of sin, empty us of self, fill us with your Spirit. Help us, God, that we might rightly divide the word of truth. Move upon us. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing tonight. You may be seated. Hope because he lives. Back on December the 17th in 1927, there was a United States submarine that was surfacing. As it was accidentally rammed by a United States Coast Guard destroyer. Its name was Paulding. The submarine sank slowly to the bottom. Rescue operations commenced and divers were dispatched to try to get those men that were in that sub out, but nothing was working. One diver, after hours and hours, and many were dying, one diver began to try to communicate by Morse code. Of the 40 men on board, only 6 survivors had remained, and this is what he tapped out in Morse code. Is there any hope? And that's really the condition of our society. It's combined and with sin, and little by little it's sinking. And there are those crying out, is there any hope? I think about the believers of Simon Peter's day. The Bible says that they were strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. The Roman emperor had come across and he had burnt down part of Rome and blamed it on the Christians, and they were persecuting them, killing them, martyring them for their faith, and they were scattered all across the region. They were special to God. They were a suffering people, but Simon Peter, I believe, is writing to those people, telling them that in the middle of society scares, in the middle of society sufferings, that they can have hope. No matter how desperate the situation, no matter how dark the circumstance, no matter how desperate we're going through times, there's a risen, returning Savior. And he's resurrected, and he's a redeeming Savior, and we can have hope. Number one tonight, there's hope for the tearful. I think about Mary Magdalene in John chapter 20. You remember, she was there to the tomb. The stone was taken away. The soldiers were gone. The tomb was empty. She didn't know what on earth was happening. And she stood without there, without that sepulcher, in John chapter 20, verse number 11, and she was weeping. Here's Mary Magdalene. We know that she was at one time possessed by seven devils. She was oppressed by the devil, and Jesus cast the demons out. He saved her. He forgave her, and he healed her. I mean, she was radically transformed. She received a brand new life in Christ. She as she followed Jesus, she saw her Savior dying on the cross. She thought for her, this was the end. She saw Joseph of Arimathea beg for the body of Jesus, and he and Nicodemus came and put 100-pound weight of spices to anoint the Lord's body. And she saw the stone rolled in front of the tomb, and she saw the seal placed around and the soldiers standing guard. She was broken because her Savior was now dead. But let me say this, she loved the Lord. And the darkness of that morning could not quench her love. The distance to the tomb could not quench her love. The danger of the hour could not quench her love. Early that morning, she goes to the tomb, and now things have changed. She's tearful. She's weeping. She's broken. She made this statement. They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Sir, if thou hadst borne him hence, tell me, and I will take him away. You know the word Lord here, right? It's representing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord is hope. Say amen right there. He is our hope. This is what she said. They've taken away my hope, and I know not where they have laid him. Well, I'm telling you, in the world in which we live, they're trying to take away our hope. Amen. Tonight, are you in a similar place? Are you here tonight at Bethel? Are you tearful over a burden? Are you broken over a prayer request? Is there some situation going on in your life? Has death come into your family? Maybe some 5, 10 years ago, and it's made such a radical change in your family, you've still not recovered. In fact, you'll never recover. And in places and in times that others know not of, you are weeping your way to God because you miss your loved one. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe there's somebody here. You've got a diagnosis. I think we stopped the service this morning to have prayer about a special situation. And I'm telling you, there's been many a tear that's been shed and broken over that situation. And I'm telling you, the devil would like to come into families and to you tonight and say, there's no hope. This is never going to change. It is what it is. Make the best of it. Just grin and bear it. Bear up. That's not what he means. The Lord has hope tonight for the tearful. I believe when the Lord spoke her name, remember, she thought he was the gardener. When she said, they've taken away the Lord, I know not where they've laid him, she thought he was the gardener. What'd he say? He said, Mary. He spoke her name like no other could speak her name. There's hope to the tearful. And immediately, the weeper was turned into the worshiper. Jesus had transformed her life. And may I say, he'll give encouragement to your troubled soul as well. Maybe tonight you're here and you're tearful. Maybe you're listening to me. And number two, you're fearful. And those disciples, they were hiding behind locked doors. And Simon Peter was broken because how he had denied the Lord. And we know when Mary came and said, listen, the tomb is empty. The stone's rolled away. And Peter and John ran down there. And John believed and Peter was mesmerized when he came back. The Bible says that they went behind locked doors. They thought, surely they're going to blame us for taking away the body of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they've gone deeper into hiding than they were before. The Bible says in John 20 that they were behind locked doors for fear, not just of the Romans, but for fear of the Jews. For fear of those Roman or of those Jewish leaders. They locked their doors. They're in hiding. They thought they're going to die. But what happened that night? In the middle of their fear, Jesus walked through locked doors on that Sunday evening. May I say it's the Sunday evening service right now while I'm preaching, amen? And maybe you're here tonight and you're fearful. How am I going to pay these bills? What about this diagnosis? What's going to happen with these tests? What does my future hold for me? Things look dismal. Things don't look real good, Preacher Darren. What on earth are we going to do? And maybe tonight you're fearful of the future. What did Jesus do? He walked through locked doors and said, peace be unto you. He spoke peace above their panic and through their panic. Hey, they'd been afraid before. They were out one time out in the middle of a storm. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Listen, the wind didn't get him up. The lightning didn't get him up. Amen. The thunder didn't get him up. The waves didn't get him up. But when his children started crying out to him, he got up. Amen. And he rebuked the winds and the waves. Honey, there is hope tonight to the tearful, and there's hope tonight for the fearful. They felt the presence of the resurrected Lord. Hallelujah. I think about my soul. One night, amen, at Balfour Baptist Church, the preacher was preaching, and the Holy Ghost had placed me under conviction. My heart was trembling. I was so afraid I was going to die and go to hell. I was trembling all over. But you know what happened? I made my way down to a little old altar, and I bowed there in the middle of that aisleway, and it was a resurrected, risen, redeeming Jesus that met me there in that place, and he saved my sin-sick soul. I went from being afraid that night to being redeemed that night. I went from weeping and crying, amen, to shouting and praising God. You know what I got? I got peace to my panicked soul because Jesus lives, amen. And you know what? Tonight, if you're afraid of something, or if you're worried about something, may I just say, he's with you right now. He said, where there are two or three gathered in my name, there am I with you in the midst. And on top of that, to you individually, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's with you in the midnight hour. He's with you. Lord, I got off your preaching stirred. He's with you in the midnight hour. He's with you in the trouble. He's with you in the fear. He's with you in the distance. Maybe you feel alone and you feel distant tonight from God. Honey, he's there. Amen. Hey, there is hope for the tearful, and there's hope for the fearful. What else, Preacher Darren? Well, thirdly, there's hope for the doubtful. These all end with a little suffix full. There's hope tonight for the doubtful. You remember that first Sunday evening when the Lord walked through the locked doors and he said, peace be unto you. He began to communicate with them. Man, they had a service. They had a Sunday night service that was worth talking about. But my Bible says that one of them, Thomas, was not there. Well, I look around tonight, I wonder who's not here. Amen. Thomas was not there. And they came and said, Thomas, son, we've had a time. Let me give you this exactly what they told him. They said, we have seen the Lord. You should have been there, Thomas. We missed you. Thomas said, unless I see the scars in his hands, unless I can press my hand into his side, I will not believe. You say y'all had a good Sunday evening worship service. I doubt it. But 8 days later, on that same first day of the week, a week later, they were gathered again behind locked doors, and this time Thomas was with them. And guess what happened? Shoo! The Lord walked right through those locked doors again, and he walked right up to Thomas in the middle of his doubt, and he said to him, hallelujah, he said, Thomas, behold my hands and my side. Be not faithless, but believing. You know what, amen? There's hope tonight for the doubtful. And Thomas, right in the middle of his doubts, he bowed down and said, my Lord and my God. He went from doubting to shouting, amen. He got excited about the change that the Lord put into his life. Maybe tonight you're here and you doubt some things. Preacher, I don't doubt that he died on the cross. I don't doubt that they buried him. Preacher Aaron, I don't doubt that he rose again. I believe that. I'm saved. But are you here and you doubt his care? Preacher, I'm going through something right now. Where's the Lord at? You doubt his care for you. You doubt his support of you. I just want to remind you of something. If he loved you so much that he would die on the cross for you, I promise you what you're going through now, he loves you. He cares for you. There's a verse over here in Romans. I read it in the prayer room. I've seen it in a couple of texts this afternoon. I've got to have to read it again. It's in Romans chapter number 8. Maybe there's somebody tonight. You turn there with me. Romans 8:32. Maybe tonight you're doubting his provision. You're doubting his supply. Oh, I know he fed 5,000, Preacher Darren, not to mention the women and the children, just a few loaves and a few fishes. And I know that they took up 12 baskets of the fragments. And if you turn the page, he did it again to 4,000. Amen. I'm just telling you, you may doubt his provision. You may doubt his supply. But I just want to say to you that he's risen again. And if he's risen again to let you go to heaven, honey, he's not going to fail you on earth. Amen. In Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son. You see that? Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hey, if he would not spare his own son, do you think he's going to forsake you now? If he would give his own son to die in your place when you were a sinner, when you were just completely unworthy and undeserving, do you think if he would give his own son because he loves you that much, that he's going to walk out on you now? Honey, don't be doubtful tonight, amen. There is hope for the tearful. There is hope for the fearful. And there's hope for the doubtful, amen. No reason for you to doubt him now. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, he has defeated my doubts. He has defeated my tears. He has defeated my fears because he lives. Fourthly, there's also hope tonight to those that are weariful. Preacher Darren, is that a word? It is a word. I looked it up. It means that you're weary. Maybe right now you're going through a difficult period in your life. Now you look around right now. I'm talking to somebody that's here. You are going through a situation and you look and most of your closest family is gathered in heaven right now. Most or many of your friends are now in eternity. And you look around and you feel like your foes are mighty. You feel like your faculties are growing old and weary. And tonight you're weariful. And I think about John the Revelator. Turn over here to Revelation chapter 1. I think about John, who for preaching the gospel was thrown into a burning cauldron of oil, and he wouldn't burn. And so the emperor Domitian sentenced John to banishment on the Isle of Patmos. And John encountered the loneliness of the place. Tonight, you are weary. You are lonely. I'll say this tonight. Sometimes as a pastor, oh, preacher, you got all these friends. But sometimes as a pastor, it can become so lonely. You can't tell anybody what you're really thinking, what you're really going through, because if you do, they'll get in the same mud hole you're in. You can't share your true heart because you know that it'll get people down. And so sometimes God shows you things that are so great that if I told you, you'd laugh at me. You're honest, you would commit me to an asylum if I told you some things that God has shown me. You'd think, man, you're super spiritual and an idiot. You shouldn't be in the pulpit. Well, that's the truth. I shouldn't be in the pulpit. But sometimes God shows you things that are so wonderful and you want to share them, but you can't. And sometimes you look around this world, though you're married, you got a family, you can get lonely. Maybe tonight you're widowed. Maybe you're a widower. And maybe tonight you're a wife that comes to church and your husband won't come. And maybe you're a husband and your wife won't come. Maybe you're a young person and your family won't come. And man, you sit here tonight and you pray, oh God, would it be that my family member, my loved one would come to church with me, and I'm weary of this journey and I'm lonesome in this veil that I'm going through right now. I would just remind you that John was sentenced to Patmos. It was a rugged island just off the coast of Turkey. It was about 10 by 6 miles wide and long. And there he was, separated from his friends and from his family. It's a very lonely place. It's a prison house. And to him, to the weariful, Jesus appeared. In Revelation chapter 1, the Lord, in verse number 10, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the last. Thought about that eclipse when it goes across and makes this sign like this. That's the Tau. That is the Omega. And when that other comet comes across it, it turns it into an A. It's an Alpha. He is the Alpha and Omega. It's even going to be marked on our nation tomorrow at about 1:30 till somewhere around 4 o'clock. It's going to be happening tomorrow. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. He said it to us tonight. He said it to John on the middle of that island. Look with me in verse number 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He saw him. And he laid his right hand upon me saying, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. I'm talking to somebody tonight, you're facing loneliness. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel unloved. You feel uncared for, unneeded. You feel unrecognized, unappreciated. And the Lord has come tonight and you say, I'm so weary, I'm weariful. Is there any hope for me? And to you, our resurrected Lord would appear and say, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that was dead, and I'm he that liveth forevermore. And I have, praise God, the keys of death and the keys of hell. Well, I say hallelujah, amen. He also, John, not only encountered the loneliness of the place, but he encountered the awfulness of the pressure. He's there. The Bible says in verse number two, he's there for the word of God. He's there for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's separated from believers. He's suffering persecution. He's put there in exile. It's a prison. Maybe right now you've got pressure. I'm talking to somebody. Will you hear me? You've got emotional pressure, spiritual pressure, financial pressure. You've got some mental things going on right now. And I'm just going to say this. I'm talking to somebody. You're working, but you're weary in the work. You're not weary of the work, but you've become weary in the work. And the Lord says, I don't want you to become weary in well-doing. It's time for you to kick back and rest for a minute. It's time for you to rely on him and look to him. My best advice to you is sometimes we get tired, but don't get weary in the work. It'd be better to be weary of work rather than being weary in the work. Do not get discouraged. I'm telling you, stay on the fire line. I will speak tonight to our missionary. Brother, God bless you. Stay in the fight, brother. Keep preaching. Souls are in balance right now, waiting on us to preach the gospel and share with the world that Jesus lives to give us hope, that Jesus lives to give us salvation. I'm telling you, don't grow weary in the work. Have hope tonight. And we have this because he lives. Amen. Last of all, I'm done. There is hope for the tearful, hope for the fearful, hope for the doubtful. I begin to think, hope for the weariful. Fifthly, there's hope for the sinful. When I was a sinner, amen, and when I found I was lost, what am I going to do? There's no hope for me till that preacher finished his message and told me Jesus loved me and he's very much alive, and I got saved. I got hope that night. And it seems like since I got saved, there's been times in my life that I messed up so bad. I'm telling you, I made the worst decision, said the worst thing, made the poorest choice, lost my testimony. Let me just tell you something, amen. You may make choices in your life and you feel like it's over for me. I'm never going to recover. There's been times that I've had people lie on me and slander me and people in the community jump on, and I thought, man, it's over for me. The best thing I do is just go somewhere. I'm never going to make it through. All these lies is being told. And God said, they lied on my son, and the truth will stand when the world's on fire. Keep in the fight. Stay in the fight. And there are times that we get like that. I want you to know about Simon Peter. He denied the Lord three times, said the worst things that he could ever have said, amen. And Jesus, glory to God, Jesus, he came and Jesus gave him encouragement. And Jesus sent word, said, go tell my disciples and Peter that he goeth before you in the Galilee, and there shall you see him, amen. I'm telling you, Simon Peter, that encouraged his heart. Did you know in 1 Corinthians 15, turn there. 1 Corinthians 15, I want you to read this. Something that's sometimes looked over, amen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, and of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. All those things. You know who Cephas is? He made a personal appearance to Cephas. Preacher, and who's Cephas? That's Peter. He made an individual personal appearance to Simon Peter to tell him, son, stay in the fight. You may have sinned, but I forgive sin. Amen. Now, I just want to say this to you, amen. Jesus had told Simon Peter another time. He said, watch and pray with me. And the Lord went a little further and prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he came back. Simon Peter, John, and James, they were all asleep. Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Will you hear what I'm going to tell you? The most important part of my life is not what you see every day. Most important part of my life is not me being up here in the pulpit, preaching in front of the people. Well, that's important that I preach. But the most important part of my life is that which God sees, and that is my prayer life. The most important part of your life tonight is what God sees from you. What kind of prayer life do you have? I'm not talking about, well, I teach Sunday school. That's good. I'm a one-way program leader. I teach in the Christian school. That's, praise God, hallelujah. I'm a young preacher. Well, whoop, hallelujah, that's wonderful. But, well, preacher, I come to this, and I'm in every one of the meetings, and I go to all the connect groups, and I never miss anything. Hallelujah. But did you know the most important part of your life is your prayer life that God sees personally? Now, I just have a question for you tonight. Peter, he failed to watch and pray. Peter failed to walk by faith. Peter failed to witness for Christ. Peter's fall was grievous. But when the Lord forgave him, he realized the value of prayer. He realized the value of witnessing for Christ. He realized those values, and his future became glorious when the Lord granted him forgiveness. I just want to move on, and I'm done. If you're tonight sinful, your sin, no matter how great, it can be forgiven. In 1488, the Cape of South Africa was discovered by a sailor by the name of Bartholomew Dias. It was at that cape where oceans came together, at the Cape of South Africa. Oceans came together, and they make treacherous waters. They make turbulent journeys as they come together. And Dias, as he sailed around the cape, named it Cabo de Tormentas. It means the Cape of Storms. That's what he named the Cape of South Africa, the Cape of Storms. But about 10 years later, in 1497, Vasco da Gama, he sailed around that same region, around that same cape, and he stayed with it, and as he did, he came to Calicut, India, and he has discovered a brand new trade route from Europe around that cape of South Africa back up towards Calicut, India. And this is what he said when he came back to Portugal. He told the king, he said, no longer is that the Cape of Storms. He said, that is Capo de Buena Esperanza. It's the Cape of Good Hope. Now, some people, they look at Calvary. You look at Calvary and you see death, and you see blood, and you see pain, and you see suffering. If you're not careful, you'll see it as a Cape of Storms. But for those of us that know that Jesus is alive, that wasn't the end. It's not the Cape of Storms at all. That's the Cape of Good Hope, amen. Hallelujah to God. Because he lives, amen. I can face tomorrow's what the songwriter said, amen. Amen. You stand to your feet tonight. You stand to your feet. It might be somebody here. Say, Preacher Darren, Seth, won't you come to the piano? There might be somebody here that said, Preacher, and I'll tell you, I've been tearful. I've been fearful. Preacher, I feel like sometimes what's going to happen in my future? I'm doubtful of so many things. Preacher Darren, I've become weary in so many things. Preacher Darren, there's sin. Preacher, I want to go to the altar tonight. I want to tell him, Lord, thank you for the hope that I have through Jesus Christ. Thank you for the hope that I have. I want to praise you for it. I don't want to praise you in it. If I didn't have that hope tonight, I'd be of men most miserable. And I want to thank you that my Jesus gave his life that I might be redeemed. And I praise you tonight. And I'm going to ask him to help me with my tears that he might comfort me. I'm going to ask him to help me with my fears that he might make me courageous. I'm going to help him. I'm going to ask him to help me tonight with my doubts, that he'd give me confidence and assurance.
Father, as we bow tonight in your name, Lord, we ask your blessing upon these tonight. God, all around us, Father, that we're preaching to, including myself. God, you know about the tears, the pain, the pressure. God, you know about the injury and the wound and the hurt and the bitterness. And oh God, the misunderstandings. God, you know, and you're there to bottle our tears and to give us comfort. God, you know tonight, God, about these tonight that are fearful, afraid of so many things, afraid of the enemy's attack, afraid of what's going to happen. And I'm glad, Father, that Jesus is greater than any giant will ever face. Lord, tonight there are those that are doubtful. Lord, doubtful about their future, doubtful about so many things. Lord, if you spared not your own son, how will you not freely give us all things also? Lord, I praise you for that. Lord, tonight there are those that are weary. God, let us be weary of the work, not in it. God, there's many tonight. I'm talking to preachers and laymen tonight, God, that have become discouraged and disappointed and defeated. God, help them, God. I pray to continue. Bless them, Father, going forward. Help us, God, when those that are falling are about to fall, help us, God, to pick them up and be a blessing to them. Tonight, God, I pray that you'd turn this situation, this cape of storms in their life, into the cape of good hope. We have hope because Jesus lives. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we turn these issues over to you. Solve them, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated. Little old boy got put in the burn unit. He's just about ready to die. Been in a house fire. His mommy and his daddy both got burned up. Siblings as well. He was the only one lived through the fire. He's in the burn unit. Things are not going well. Back down at the county school system, they have a teacher. Her job is to go to those that are homebound and teach them. She was given an assignment to go to the hospital and find this young man and teach him about adverbs and pronouns. She got her lessons ready. She went to the hospital. She went to the room and found it to be a burn unit. She found him completely, his face and everything. He couldn't even communicate with her. She was so discouraged. She did her best to teach her lesson, and she thought that was a complete waste of my day and my time. To be honest, she got so discouraged, she left there, and she said, I am never going to do this again. I'm going to quit that job, and I'm going to find something that is much more rewarding than teaching pronouns and adverbs to little boys in a burn unit. That's a complete waste of my time. Have y'all ever quit your job before you went to bed at night? And think in the morning, I'm going to get up and I'm going in and I'm going to tell the boss, I am done, I am out of here. And the next morning, after you've prayed about it, and you get up, things change a little. And you think, you know what, I think I'll try it one more time. She went back to work and they said, here's your next lesson, prepare it, go teach this. She said, I'm not going back down there and teach that boy. He can't even communicate about adverbs and pronouns. It's a complete, they said, that's your job, go back down there. She said, y'all don't understand. He can't hardly hear me. He's suffering. I mean, we can't even communicate. They said, you, that's your job. We're assigned from the county. The state's told us, you go. She went back to the hospital. When she went into the burn unit, the charge nurse met her and she said, hey, what are you telling that boy? She said, I know. It was terrible. It's awful, but it's my job. And they said, no. Last night he had a stunning recovery. Things begin to change for him. For the first time after you left, we could communicate. For the first time, things were looking better. So whatever you did, go do it again. She said, what? She went in and taught pronouns and adverbs again. And over the course of days and weeks, the little boy had the gauze removed and the bandages removed from his. He began to be able to communicate a little bit. And they said, why in the world did you start recovering? And they said, he said, well, I thought I was going to die. And that lady came by talking some crazy stuff about adverbs and pronouns, and I don't even know why I'm about to die. And I thought, I must be going to live if they're sending a lady to tell me about English pronouns and adverbs. And he said, if they think I'm going to live, I must be okay. You see, he got hope. And I didn't know pronouns and adverbs would give you hope, amen. But if you get hope, amen, you can live to see a better day and a brighter day. And I want to tell you, my hope is in Jesus. Amen.